Tonight we're going to be talking about priorities. And let me define what a priority is. A priority is something that takes precedence in time and order and importance over other things. Our life is to be governed by priorities. There's a series of statements in your Bible about one thing which suggests a priority. And we're going to be looking at three or four of these. There's more, but let's look at these one thing priorities in the Bible. First of all, the priority of worship. I want you to go with me to Psalm 27 and look at verse 4. Here it is. One thing. This is a priority. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He's talking about going to God's house and worshiping. The priority of worship. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is when we as a body ascribe and affirm worth to God. In this day and when these Psalms were written, the tabernacle was the place of worship. In the tabernacle, there were no seats. It was a place of work. It was a place of business. And it was a place of sacrifice. When you went to the tabernacle and later on the temple, there were no seats there for you to come in and sit down and enjoy what was going on. You went there to work, to do business with God, and to sacrifice to Him. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. One of the things that we need to be reminded of today is we don't need entertainment in God's house. We need endowment. We don't need programs. We need power with God. We don't need celebrities. We need Christ to visit each one of us when we come in to His house. So let me give you a couple of times when we are to worship. We are to worship when everything goes right in our life. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You talk about everything going right. In this chapter, everything is going right, and there is going to be some worship going on. Let's start by reading the first two verses. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon. Do you remember who Moab and Ammon were, where they came from, where they had their beginning? It was Lot's two daughters that conceived by incest from the father. They became the beginning of the tribes of Moab and Ammon. And with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is in Gedi. Now let's skip down to verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Well, I tell you what, thank God for somebody that gets a hold of the Lord and the Lord speaks to him and then he communicates that to all Israel. And that's what's going on. He said, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now verse 24. "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." They worshiped when they knew that God was with them. And God did a great miracle, and they won a great battle at that time. But when everything goes right in your life, you need to worship. There's another time that you need to worship, and that is when everything goes wrong. And you know where we're headed. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 18. "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground incredibly, and worshiped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." He's talking about his 10 kids, folks. "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. In fact, he did just the opposite of that. What he did was he worshiped. You worship in your life when everything goes well and when everything goes wrong, and every time in between. We are to worship. This one thing. Okay? Second of all, there is the priority of salvation. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 18. Luke 18, 18. "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that's God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and thy father. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Please understand, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ will say at another time, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. One of them will take the priority. It always does. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you despise the one and accept the other. You can't serve God and mammon. So let's go a few years in the future with that mindset in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12 now. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse 15. We're talking about the priority of salvation. Yet lackest thou one thing, and that's the priority of salvation. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's go a couple more years in the future with that same kind of mindset. I'm going to take money over God. Okay? Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse 19. All of these are familiar stories. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I've got five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, they have the word of God, is what the Lord was saying. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There is the absolute priority of salvation in our life that takes precedence over everything else. Next is the priority of Scripture. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Here it is. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What's that one good thing? Ladies and gentlemen, that is the word of God. And so my question to you, does the Bible take precedence over television, over the internet, over your smartphones, over everything? Okay. I was at Home Depot yesterday, and I was looking for something, couldn't find it, and so I went and saw a little, and generally when I'm at Home Depot, and this is going to sound horrible, but generally I look for a guy and not a girl. But there was just a girl there, and her name was Hannah. And so she was able to locate the thing I needed, and I said, Hannah, do you know about your name? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, it's a biblical name. She said, I didn't know that. And then I told her the story about Hannah, who was barren, and she wanted a child so bad. She went to the priest, and the priest Eli gave her her request, and she conceived. And she loved that little boy, but she gave that little boy back to the Lord. And that little boy became one of the major people in the Old Testament, Samuel the prophet. I said, Hannah was such a good, good woman. My point is this. She had never heard that story. She didn't even know about her name, Hannah. And the wonderful story that it was. Folks, we are living in a time, honestly, where the priority of Scripture is not there. And then there is the priority of today. Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and you know where we're headed, verses 13 and 14. Paul, the greatest credential the gospel ever produced, said this: "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He was talking about the fact that he does that daily. This is something he did every day. And there are some things that God would impress upon our heart to do every day. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. Father, we used to sing a song, "I just keep falling in love with him over and over." We do that with the word of God. Thank you for speaking to our heart through your word. Thank you for allowing us to come to your house. Thank you for allowing us to fellowship with your good people. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name.